So Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll be reading in verse 16. Deuteronomy 5:16. So honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have given us, Lord, especially for the rain today, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, that as we have come to you in salvation, Lord, that you have adopted us, Lord. We pray that you would help us to appreciate this truth and help us this day, Lord, that we honor our earthly fathers. We might also honor you as our Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would do those things which are pleasing in your sight. And we just pray that you would bless as we look into your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it is something that this day, every year, that we honor fathers. We realize the great importance of fatherhood and how great a role that a father plays in the lives of his children, in the lives of a nation even. We realize that if you study any of the psychology of the raising of children, of sons and daughters, of how important it is, the role of the father, of how it makes such a difference. Just of the example of how that they are to live, how they're to act, how they're to treat other people, that they get that so much from their father, that we think of that just as Jesus said that the son can do nothing except what he seeth the father do. And so the example that a father has is so important and so valuable. We think of how a father can give such confidence to a child as they affirm them, as they show them, they tell them that they've done a good job, that it can help them so much. And especially with the daughter, of how they can feel a confidence and assurance in their own selves, that they don't have to get someone to follow after them or anything like that, but they can be confident that they're loved by their father, and that they can trust that the Lord will bring them along someone in His time that will love them in the same way that their father does. And there's so much that we can actually see of how kids do better in school, that they don't get into trouble as much with the law when they have a good father, someone that's going to lead them well. And we realize how important that a father is in passing down the faith from one generation to another. We see this in Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." And we see that God's plan and purpose is that with each generation that the father passes on the knowledge of the Lord to his children, that it's perpetuated, that with each generation that we can teach our children to learn from our own mistakes, that we teach them, well, don't make the mistake I did. Don't be stubborn like I was in this situation. That with each generation, the Lord wants that we can become more and more like Him. And that's what His desire is, that He wants to bless us in that way. And we actually see that the role of the father, and when fatherhood is placed in an important role, that it has a great connection in bringing revival to a nation. We see this in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and this is the angel is speaking to Zacharias. He's prophesying that he shall have a son whose name would be called John, the one that we know as John the Baptist. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." But that was John's ministry. The part of it was to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, to put their hearts where they should be, and that their children would take first place, and that would be part of how the Lord would make a people ready and prepared for the Lord. And we understand his ministry, that's what he was, that he was to prepare the way for the Lord, and that as fathers, they remember their children, that they put them first, that there is great power in that. And we see Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That's the thought, that unless the heart of the fathers is turned to the children, the heart of the children is turned to the fathers, that that judgment can come upon a nation. And so it is something that we need to learn, especially as fathers. It's something that I've had to be constantly reminded of, that I get busy and sometimes the kids want to do stuff and I'm just, I'm too busy. But then it's like I have to be reminded, no, they're the most important thing, and that I need to place a high value on them, because God has placed them in my care, and so I need to lead them well. I need to have my heart turned towards them so that the Lord can bless them, bless me, and bless our nation as a whole as we each do that. And so on this Father's Day is something that we all seek to honor our heavenly, our earthly fathers. All of us have, no matter what our situation is, all of us have a father, and we want to honor them. And in the broader sense, we understand we honor our forefathers, those who came before. We think of those who, by their vision and sacrifice and hard work, built the nation that we're in right now, that gave up so much so that we could live in freedom, we could live in prosperity. And we think also of our spiritual forefathers in many ways, of those who gave their lives for the cause of Christ, who died so that we could have the Bible in our own language, that we could read it. There's so much that we can be thankful for in that way, and that we look to them as an example and as a challenge to us as well. That's something that today we also want to focus on, honoring our spiritual fathers, our Heavenly Father. That we recognize that when the Lord established the whole idea of fatherhood, that He always intended it to be a reflection of Himself. That the way that a father nurtures his children, that cares for them, that we are to reflect that. And so we want to honor our Heavenly Father today, and we want to understand that God was not always our Father, that we could not claim Him as such when we were born into this world, and that some great transaction has been made, that even though we were not His children, that He made us His children through faith in His Son. And so we want to see that this morning. We want to see, first of all, that when we enter life, that we begin life with two spiritual fathers. The first is Adam. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, that we understand Adam to be the first man, that he was the father of us all, that he was our representative in the Garden of Eden, and that we, even though we We begrudgingly say, boy, why did he do that? He threw all the world into chaos. We realize that, well, if we were in the same place, he would have done probably exactly the same thing. That says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And we understand that with Adam, that he is our father, that he was the first man, that he sinned, and because of that, the curse of sin is passed upon us all, that all of us are born sinners, that we are spiritually dead, that we do not have that connection with God. We are sinners by birth and by choice, that we are disconnected with our Heavenly Father, that we have to admit that we are the children of Adam, that we follow after him, that we have a sin nature within us, that wars within our members, that even though we want to do good so often, that we do evil, and that we are certainly the children of Adam. But then we also see that prior to our salvation, that we had another spiritual father. We see this in John chapter 8. And Jesus here was speaking to the Pharisees and how that they trusted just because that they were of the lineage of Abraham, that meant that they were righteous with God, and of course there's a lot more to that. But he says, verse 37 of John chapter 8, it says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And we have to recognize in our own lives that prior to our salvation, prior to coming to Christ as Savior, that we were of our father, the devil. That we did not consider God, that we did not live in a right way. We were selfish. We were seeking after our own things. We were hateful and hating one another, as it says in Titus, that we truly were of our father, the devil, and that we followed in our father's footsteps. And we understand that any of us, that when we sin, that we are joining in Satan's rebellion against God, that we're agreeing to his leadership in our lives, that we're allowing him to put his stamp upon us, that he can say, well, these are my children, they act just like me. And we realize that's where we are prior to salvation. And God saw us, and he saw that we were enemies of his, that we were separated from him, estranged. We were not only apart from him, but we were enemies of his. And yet, he loved us. He wanted to change all that. That he desired to fix that problem. He desired to make us his children. And to think of that we who are wicked, we who are sinners, that yet he would love us in that respect. But the Lord had only one son that was only begotten of the Father, but that he was willing to give his son so that we could be the children of God as well. That we understand that Christ came, that He paid the penalty for our sins, that He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That because of Him, that when we come to Him in repentance and faith, when we trust in Christ as Savior, that our whole world changes. That before, our spiritual father was Adam and the devil, but now when we trust in Christ, we have two new spiritual fathers. And we want to see that in the Scriptures. If we turn to Romans chapter 4, says Romans chapter 4, verse 16, says, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." And we understand that we sing the song in Sunday school sometimes, "Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them," and then we flail our arms and do other things just to be silly. But it is the sense that Abraham was a man of faith, that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And that when we accept Christ by faith, that we follow in His footsteps, that He becomes our Father in that sense. That we actually remember when we read the story in Luke chapter 16, I believe it is, of how that the rich man was in hell and he looked up and he saw the poor man, Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. And it's the thought that portion was called that in the sense that everyone that was there followed in Abraham's footsteps, that they followed in faith, that they accepted God's plan of salvation by faith, even though in those days, of course, they had no understanding, as we do, of who Jesus Christ was. They just knew that He was going to come, and they looked forward in faith. They believed God, and it was accounted unto them for righteousness. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, it speaks of this more clearly. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 6, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And it is that thought that his name originally was Abram, but the Lord changed it. He said that you shall be a father of many nations. And we understand that by faith he was a father of many nations, that there are many kindreds and tongues that have trusted Christ as Savior, that have followed in His footsteps. And we understand that verse 13 of Galatians 3, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." That it is that we, as we trust in Christ as Savior, that the blessings of Abraham come upon us, even though that we were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. But yet, we are made children of Abraham, children of faith. But then more than Abraham, we understand that when we trust in Christ as Savior, that the God of heaven and earth, the God who created us, is now someone that we can claim as our heavenly Father. And we see in Galatians 3, verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That we have been brought into the family of God. And it is just such a thought to think that we, who are sinners, who were under the wrath of God, yet that He would love us, that He would give His only begotten Son, that we might become His children. How this can be, this amazing thing. It says in 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Just that thought that we don't deserve that title, that if the Lord just kind of forgave us and said, "Okay, well, you can go to heaven and I'm going to kind of help you in your life, but that's it," but He still had that separation from us. You could absolutely understand that would be completely within His justice, that He would be showing mercy to us. But yet, we see the abundance of His grace, that we who were His enemies, He would make us His children, that He would desire to have us be part of His family. It says in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father," that we might receive that we could be adopted into the family of God, that the thought that we have that we are heirs of the God of heaven and earth, and that we're joint heirs with Christ, that Jesus, who is our Savior, who is our Lord and Master, that we can also understand Him in the sense that He is our brother. That we think, how can that be that we could consider Him in that way? But it is the blessing that we have, that we are His children, that a transaction has been made, that it is never ever going to be rescinded, He is never ever going to disown us. That it is something that He calls upon us to live a righteous and a holy life after we are saved, but we understand that it is not in order to keep our salvation, that we do not do those things in order to be the King's Son, but we do them because we are the King's Son. And that is a blessing, that we have a new purpose, we're part of a new family, that what we left behind spiritually, that there was really nothing that we want to retain of that, that we want to remember, that we remember those days when the devil had power over us in our lives. We feel the sin nature warring within us, but the fact that we have a heavenly Father now that loves us, that sent His Son to die for us, that has sent His Spirit within us so that He can enable us to live a holy life, a life that's pleasing to Him, that He can change us from the inside out. That fact and that truth is just so overwhelming to the human mind, but it is what the Scriptures teach, that we have been adopted in the family of God. If you turn with me finally to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And that thought that He has given us that power to become the sons of God, that we have that blessing, that we know that He is our Father. We know that He loves us. We can tell that even by His chastening hand sometimes upon our lives when we turn out of the way. We know that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, even as a father, a son in whom He delighteth. That it isn't for just His benefit, but it's for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. That we have entered into that relationship with Him, and that because He is our Father, that we need to always remember that just as this day that we honor our earthly fathers, that it's something that we don't think of it as being that, well, this is the one day that I do it in the year and then the rest I can do whatever I want, but it's the sense that you have. I know with my dad, that one of the biggest things that he taught all of us boys was a work ethic, that we need to work hard. He'd tell us if we were kind of goofing off, we weren't doing something, he'd say, well, look busy even if you aren't. Just the whole idea that he was to ingrain that in us, that we had to be looking and being active and being doing something. That it's something that it comes with me every day, that I remember what he said, and that I never want to ever appear that I'm lazy or anything like that, because I know they would reflect poorly upon him, that because I know that he taught me better. And so it is that thought with our earthly Father, that we each day that we seek to honor him, but how much more with our heavenly Father, that by what we say, by what we do, how we treat our fellow man, that we want to be honoring him every day, that people should be able to see who our Father is by the way that we act. That Jesus, the disciples told him, or the disciples asked him, well, show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And it should be the same thing with us as well, that we would be a witness to God, to those around us, a witness to the lost, and that they would see us as a reflection of our Heavenly Father, that they would see our love, our compassion, our the holiness of our lives, our devotion to our God, and that by that as people see that they too would come to know Christ as Savior, that they would accept him by faith, and so that they too could be part of the family of God. That it isn't something that we ever want to have it where we think, well, I'm part of the family and you're not. It's the whole blessing. It's like, I didn't deserve to be part of this family, but I am, and so I want you to be part of it too. And that we would have that desire to bring many into the Lord's kingdom, and that we would honor our Father, and that we would share with others the great truth of the adoption that we have had, that we were not, God was not our Father once, but he became our Father when we trusted in him by faith. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all you have done for us. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Lord, to purchase us and to make us your children, Lord. We thank you that you will never ever disown us. You will never ever turn back the transaction you have made, that we are yours forever. And Lord, we just pray that you would help, that we would honor you each day, Lord, that we would be pleasing in your sight, that we would be witnesses for you, that we would draw many people unto you, Lord. We just ask all these things in your name. Amen. So let's stand to hymn, and we'll turn to hymn number 318 and sing, Give Me Thy Heart.